Meeting to order. Roll call.
Briggs.
One.
Tony.
Gary.
Mark.
Pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, I don't know, we're trying these microphones out. I hope everybody can hear me a little better than normal, maybe not. But our first thing is to approve the resolution 2026-08 for the Reamer Volunteer Firemen's Relief Association request to conduct an off-site gambling at Golden Eagle Golf Course. So with that, I guess I would like a motion or discussion first. And if there's no discussion, a motion.
Would you like him to speak to anything?
Yeah, I guess if you'd like to have anything to say to us, we're all ears.
Yeah, thanks, Casey, Reamer Fire Department Gambling Manager.
Could you please step up to the...
Yeah, sure.
Thank you.
Casey, Gambling Manager in Reamer. So, Jennifer Kowal, Jennifer Manthe, she used to run golf tournaments for the Booster Club a number of years ago. And she just approached us. She's got contacts on Longville Fire, Reamer Fire, and Crooked Lake Fire Department. So we're all going to have a team. She's organizing this golf course. We're going to run some raffles at the end of the golf course. And just going to look to just divide that money up between the fire departments. Have some fun and give away some guns and some prizes. So appreciate you taking the time to put this together and hopefully approve our off-site gambling. Thank you.
And now I'll make the motion to pass resolution 2026-08, resolution approving application for the Reamer Volunteer Firemen's Relief Association to conduct an off-site gambling.
I'll start.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Against? Nobody. So passed.
Thank you very much. As much as I love them to hang around and listen to that conversation, if my board sees this little pretty thing, they're going to be asking me to put that card. Take care, everybody.
Thank you.
Drop your pen.
All right, then we move on to the next deal here. And that's discussions on the gambling lease with the 50 Lakes Fire Relief Association. Now, we've had this meeting, some of the members of the council with the fire relief, but I wanted to get all of our council members up to speed on this because we have a couple that are probably haven't heard all of the things on this. So I just want to take this time and get these members up to speed on this. And with that being said, I believe that possibly somebody from the fire department could speak on this even better than I myself. And if you guys would, any of you would care to speak on this, we would love to hear from you.
So do you guys have any questions about what's going on?
Well, basically, we've got a couple that have not been part of this conversation really whatsoever because, and this is part of our open meeting law. We've got to get everybody up to speed on this so everybody knows what's going on. It just doesn't work that only a few of us really have knowledge here. And I think it was proposed by the fire department that they're having difficulty with their finances, and they asked us to either cut the rent on the boxes or take the empty over, I believe.
Yeah.
No? Yeah. Please speak to this. I'd like to hear.
Now, as far as the discussion has gone, and I wouldn't say we're having trouble with our finances. I wouldn't say that, I guess. What's happening is that we've gone from a situation where we had the bar had all the volunteers to run the meat raffle and the bingo over the years. Somehow that's gone away, but our rent has stayed the same. We're paying 20% of our gross profits as rent, which is the maximum allowed by law. And we're also now have an entire payroll, and we're paying employees to run meat raffle and bingo. And I think that's where the whole discussion started, is that we're looking for a way to reduce that payroll so that we can donate more money, keep our star rating up. There's a star rating system that every charitable gambling organization is rated on, and if you fall below 3 stars, you put on probation. If you can't correct that, you're going to lose your gambling license altogether.
What is the criteria for the stars?
Do we have that page in the PowerPoint?
I don't know. It's in there, but it's not how much you donate. And so if you go to the slide that shows how much we pay in rent, don't go on that one, go back. Donations. Oh, that's the donation.
Nope.
Donations. So you can see the donations that we've done over the years. This is a 4-year comparison. And you can see how lately it's been a lot less. Now if you go to expenses, you can see how much we've paid in rent and then all our other expenses as well. So the whole purpose of this was to see if we could lower the rent. That's how this all started. And then it became in discussions. And then it was, well, we go to volunteers, but we can't find volunteers. Does the bar take over the employees to run bingo and meat raffle? And then the discussions kind of went nowhere, and we decided to put it on hold until October.
And again, I needed to get my whole council up to stomp on this, so that's why we're having this. I thought it'd be a good time to do this.
And Keith's chart, he explained more better in our one sit down that we had.
I think we could definitely accommodate if other council members wanted to come to a relief meeting. We can sit in on the gambling business meeting and learn some more about that. We can't obviously have more than 2 at a time there, but anybody that hasn't been there wanted to come in and learn some more about it. It'll, Tom and I and Lori and some others spent days mapping out where the walls and the fire hall were covered with, what would you call that, Tom?
Gambling trail.
Standard process.
Yeah, process mapping.
Process mapping, mapping out every part of this gambling operation from the cost of the pull tab game, selling the pull tabs, and every step of the way what happens and where the money goes.
Do you have a breakdown on the wages for over here? And is there a way we could look at that? Or
yeah, I think we have some in this.
I know it's all
kind of confusing. Probably not a full picture of what you're looking at, but basically went from having a payroll of
zero, depending on how far back you
want to go. Zero, if you go
zero.
Back,
you,
but
you
then, we started, then we started paying a gambling manager, and but now we have multiple people on a payroll. It's more time for the gambling manager as well, so it's
I think it would be kind of nice if we could kind of, you know, we've got this here, but I mean, if we could kind of itemize it a little bit so we get a real good feeling of where this is being spent and possibly where there could be savings. I mean, I know you guys have looked at it, but I mean, I don't think it hurt to have another set of eyes to see if there is any way we can find some savings here. If that's good, I mean, if we could get that would be nice.
Maybe we all could look at it.
It will take me some time to pull all of that together because I have to sort through every single pay period for the last 12 years.
Well, I'd be interested in just as for 25, I'd like to see the, I don't think it's too big of an ask. I think it's...
Well, it is, Gary. It's a lot of work. So
couldn't you just go off of W-2s?
Well, I could. But if you want it broken out by who's beat raffle, bingo, and races...
Well, I'm just trying to figure out where, you know, I'd like to see where it's going. That's just my question.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure we can print off a report of that.
Jessica, there's a slide that looks like a spreadsheet.
That one? That one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So on this one here, it talks about our rent and our payroll, our income, and it lists it out by year. If you come down, where was it?
Payroll by year?
Yep. That fourth category and the second group down. Do you have a pointer or something?
You can use my mouse if you want to.
What's that?
Oh. The mouse.
This area here shows the payroll. So back in 22, we paid $35,000, and it's gone up to $44,000, $43,000, $46,000, respectively, for each year. So that's our payroll.
Why is that? Why has it gone up so much?
$11,000 in 4 years.
Yeah.
Well, there was a large increase in hourly that happened when...
Lori
Wolzmack had an increase that took it all the way up to what,
$17 an hour for most of them, and Terry's at $20 an hour.
So that was a large increase.
Was
so,
that a discussion that was had that your organization could withstand that raise within your budget? Was there any discussion with that?
Yeah. Everything we do in this gambling operation has to be voted on by the association. Yeah.
Right. It just seems that it kind of, like you said, took a huge jump. And was that sustainable?
Early on, it went from zero. So, I mean, we had we're allowed to have a gambling manager and several people that are on salary. So that salary is based on, like Lori is our gambling manager. So the amount of hours and work that she puts in, that's a paid position.
Absolutely.
And yes, very much so. We're also allowed to have an assistant gambling manager, which we don't have right now. But if we did, that could also be a paid position.
Yes.
I was the interim gambling manager for 90 days when we had a big transition period a couple of years back. I didn't even take a salary.
So. Well, I don't count all my hours that I put into this.
And I realize, Lori, that you do put in a lot of hours, and I'm not trying to slam anybody here, but I'm just trying to get a good picture of what's going on here.
You know, what ended up happening is over time, it was getting harder and harder to find volunteers to come and do it for free. So then it became a paid position. And I think it started off at minimum wage. And then over time, it's just crept up and up. But we had a huge increase when we had, one of our gambling managers went through and proposed this huge increase. Well, at the time, I mean, we could afford it because we were still doing good. But I mean, things have really dropped off, and they drop off every year. Gambling is cyclical. It's very cyclical in the winter months. It drops like a rock. There's nobody here. So it always affects our meat raffle and our bingo. It gets to the point where we're actually paying people in the winter to come here and get meat.
Why don't you lower the meat? We have. Where's that? If you want to suggest to me what kind of dollar amount we can make up enough packages that will still interest people to come into a meat raffle.
But get rid of the packages. Get gift certificates so that people want to come get them. Then they can pick their own meat.
That's been talked about too. Yeah,
that's an option that we've talked about. We've talked about suspending bingo and meat raffles in the
room. Where are the firefighters doing it? I get we all have jobs, but why aren't any of them volunteering to come do this stuff?
Because we all have jobs.
Okay, so do the people, so does my mom, so does Tony, so does
Sam. That is their job.
I don't think it's a choice. They're not bar people. They don't, prior to me being at his council, I've been in a bar probably twice in my entire life.
I know, and I never see Gary, and he's the mayor now, he comes into the bar. I don't ever see Juan now, he's on the council, and I've seen him coming in and buying in the off sale, but I mean, presence is very powerful around here. I don't know. People don't care to come help us. They don't know you guys. Right? I don't know anybody that knows anybody on the fire department that's coming here that's not in here, living in the air, right here. And we want people to come here, don't we?
Yes, but I'm on the fire department. I've been on the fire department for 8 years, and I don't drink.
You don't have to drink to sell me draft tickets or sell bingo cards.
Well, I'm saying I don't go to the bar. I don't go to any bars.
We volunteer to get up at 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning when it's 30 and go out and help somebody. I'm not going to volunteer to come and sell me draft tickets. Period. I'm not doing it. I will not do it. I'm glad we get out of here. I'm not going to fight a fire or pick somebody up off the floor in the middle of the night, though.
You're signing up for that.
No, I'm not. The fire department doesn't have to run a gambling operation.
Okay.
Then we that's the other option.
Yep, sure is.
I think by going to no gambling option, this is going to hurt everyone. It's going to hurt the bar.
I'm sure there's other organizations out there.
They can find other people that do that the same thing.
Yeah, right. Well, they will. There's hockey associations that you can try to come in here, but they're not going to give the money back to the city. They'll give you the rent, and that's it. All the other money is going to go to their causes. Our cause is the community.
At one time, we bought the salt shed, the dump truck, the grader. We supplied the entire maintenance division. When I got out of the department, we bought all the maintenance division plus maintained ours.
Yep, when we were volunteering.
We were paid then too.
I appreciate you guys.
We were paid to. I've been paid since the day I got on this. My father-in-law, 87 years old, 38 years ago, in the department, was paid every time he left his house for a call. We don't get paid much, $30. That doesn't even cover the gas for me to drive miles to the end of West Fox Lake Road and back.
I was a first responder for over 20 years, and I wasn't paid a penny for anything. Just saying.
Jerry said, and that's why we brought it, and you were on there, part of that vote that made first responders part of the fire department, so you could get paid and you could have a pension.
The people that are
because you know the whole time, I spent $30 driving back and forth on three-quarter
time. The country out here never got paid. Well, maybe there's a solution other than doing something with the gambling. I look at this and I say, the way out for the fire department is to reduce the rent, which now 50 Lakes takes a hit. Have you ever thought about doing a street dance? Have you ever thought about doing a corn feed? Have you ever thought about doing something on a weekend where I'm pretty sure a lot of the people don't work? There's other ways to make money to make this difference up.
Can I just...
Well, Reaver, we're just here to do a golf tournament.
This gambling is totally different from a fire department trying to raise money on a street dance.
Okay, but you're trying to take it from the rent of 50 Lakes. So the other alternative is the taxpayers get tax increased every year because they got to make up the difference. So in the long run, the taxpayers are paying for the deficit.
Do you know how much the Relief Association here has contributed to this city?
I have no idea.
Taxes down.
Over $1.2 million.
Yeah, about 10% of the annual operating budget for quite a few years.
They were. And that's what we've seen. And we haven't changed anything as far as it's always been paid per call plus retirement, all covered. What we're discussing is actually a total separate entity being the gambler. And we just because our rent is quadrupled, our payroll has...
Whoa. What do you mean your rent's quadrupled?
Did I say I didn't mean it?
Okay.
Yeah, it really has, because it started at zero.
It's a percentage, and it's been that percentage.
No, you've always paid rent.
Yes.
Yes, we always paid a percentage.
Yes.
You paid $600.
Well, you did, okay, you're right.
You paid $600 a month in 2002, and in 2004 it was changed to 20 and 15%.
What was it in 2002?
$600 a month.
So, and what was that?
Just but making sure you have facts, that's all.
Either way, okay, look, we're paying percentage. And 600 probably wasn't.
Okay, I understand that, but then when you look at this income 4-year comparison, okay, you can see your bingo, how it was good and it's tanked. Your meat raffle's good and it's tanked, but look at your pull tabs and your e-tabs. They're off the charts.
That's what's saving the rest of the operations, yeah. Two of our operations, the pull tabs and the e-tabs, are making money for us,
mm-hmm. which we don't pay employees for.
Right.
That's the lease. That's right. The bars, bar employees sell the pull tabs, you get 20% of
it. Well, the bar employees don't get paid for you guys, you get paid for the city.
They get tips.
And we pay the city.
Maybe they get tips. That's what it is.
Maybe, yeah.
That's what it is, yeah.
No, I'm just so saying on here, yes, your pull tabs, e-tabs are off the chart good. Bingo, raffle, tanking. I mean, we talked about it. It definitely needs some attention.
The bingo and the bingo and the meat raffles are very cyclical. When we have people up here in the summer, we do good. It's not crazy good, not like everything else, but we just started the E-Tabs a couple of years ago.
Well, Dick was here, wasn't he? Mm-hmm.
No.
No?
Well, it started mid-April 22. I think he was training before it wasn't.
Yeah, so the E-Tabs is something new that we picked up, and yes, we're glad that we did it because it's almost a guaranteed revenue stream for the Relief Association.
How much you guys pay, I'm sorry, to the employees or the city for being able to handle the pull tabs and the e-tabs?
20% of the gross profits.
Okay, so
15%
on e-tabs.
15% on
e-tabs. 20%
on pull tabs and
15%
on e-tabs.
Okay.
Juan, and it's all in that report that I sent you.
I see
Lori's gambling report. It's very detailed.
Well, I think it's also very important that we make a differentiation because everyone thinks it's the fire department and it's really not. The fire department cannot gamble. It's the Relief Association. That's the 501c3. The fire department is a part of the city. And as part of the city, they cannot do it. So the Relief Association stepped in. And so the whole purpose of the Relief Association was to work and handle the benefits and retiring fire department benefits, and then to handle the charitable gambling. That's the only purpose that we have as a Relief Association. And so we have to really think that there's two separate entities here, because oftentimes we just lump it together. So the stuff that's over there is all city assets. They belong to the city. All the fire department are city employees. And it's the Relief Association that runs the charitable gambling. So they're two separate things. They just happen to be run by the majority of the people that are on the fire department.
Who's the gambling license through?
Through the Relief Association.
The Fighters Relief Association.
Yeah, fire.
Relief.
The Relief Association holds the gambling charter. The fire department cannot. Mm-hmm. That's illegal. A government agency can't hold it. No, that's why there's a separate 501c3 over there, and that's all that they do. We have a completely separate meeting for gambling, and then we have a separate meeting for the fire department.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Tom.
Um,
me straight, just to back up a little bit. When you talk about the payroll, that's both, like you said, owned by the city and also the ETABs and what have you. The payroll that we talk about in there, we have two people that are on the payroll from the Relief Association standpoint for the work that they do. The other part, and so that makes up the one portion of it. Everything else is now we have to have employees that run the gambling operations at the bar.
Outside the bar.
What's that?
Not at the bar, but outside the bar, like bingo and races.
Yeah, they happen inside the bar. They are not bar employees. We have to pay them. And that whole thing kind of morphed over time because it was getting tougher and tougher to get people to volunteer to do it for free. So we had to start paying them. You know, could we go back to not paying them? We could, but we're going to have that hassle finding people who are willing to just volunteer again. You know, I think the days of, you know, everybody wants to make a little bit of money for their effort that they put into this. And we don't have that volunteerism spirit in the community like we used to have, where people would just come and volunteer to do that kind of stuff. Which it's just not there anymore. Our demographic is changing before our eyes. So now we have to pay people, and we knew. Now the payroll that comes out of our proceeds of the winnings, that doesn't go against our star rating. The star rating that we get, so I have to back up a second, because we have two major metrics here. The bar operates off of profit, cost of goods sold, all that. So they have a profit margin that's how they are measured on if they're successful or not. The Relief Association is on the star program. We have to maintain 3 stars or above. The only way we can give money away is if it's another 501c3. We can give it to the government here. We can give it to people in distress. We have very strict guidelines on who the Relief Association can donate money to. I'm the ranger at the scout camp down the road. I've been very fortunate. They've given us money from time to time when we needed help. So it's other organizations. The food shelf is another big one that we donate to quite frequently.
Scholarships for kids going to college in our community.
Yeah. So that boosts our 5-star rating. The more percentage that we get in that we give out to those type of organizations, our star rating goes up. We want to stay in that 4-to-5-star rating. If we drop down below 3, we get, they'll warn us, and then they kind of put us under double secret probation, but then they can also take away our rights to offer charitable gambling. So we have 2 competing different metrics. When we have to pay employees, that's considered by the state of Minnesota for the charitable gambling as cost of doing business. That doesn't go against our star rating. So as our employee costs go up, that's money that takes away from us to give the things that actually make our star rating go up. So at the same time, our money is there going down, but so is our star rating.
And that's percentage of?
Percentage of what we donate.
Yeah.
So the things that are not covered under the star rating is the rent that we pay for the boxes to be here. That doesn't go against our star rating. Our employees and our payroll does not go against our star rating. I wish it would, because then we wouldn't be having these discussions. But when we get danger close of losing, having issues with our star ratings, it affects our ability to do the stuff that we do for the community. So it's important that we just realize that we have 2 competing. We don't want to reduce the rent because we know that's going to screw up the profit margins for the bar. We know that. But we also know that our payroll is also screwing up our star rating. So we're talking about how these things, this money flow that comes in affects the metrics of both of our organizations differently. If we can't give more money away, the way the State of Minnesota Gambling Association looks at it is, well, they're not doing as much good as they could be doing. But our costs are increasing. We got to figure out how to stem that. And we're not talking about wanting, we don't want to reduce the rent. We don't, that is the least thing that's on our mind, because we know that that impacts the profit margin of the bar. We get that. We know that. So we're trying to find that happy medium. You know.
Has anybody talked to the employees? I mean, I know a couple at least that would go back to volunteering, but they're not going to volunteer if some are getting paid and some aren't. You know, if you're paying, you're paying. If you're not, you're not. But
we got to find something that's going to be fair for everyone.
Right.
We still want to continue to do well. The other problem that we had, and we brought this up earlier, is that we're having an issue right now in the winter months. But it's always been that way. Mm-hmm. As soon as all the seasonal people leave, it's the same thing at the bar. You're seeing the same things. Your profits go down in the wintertime because we just don't have the volume of people.
Say, Tom, this came from an observation on Monday night. I came to the meat raffle. Basically, the way that raffle was set up, the only profit that was going to be had there is if all the tickets sold out was $22.40. Is that a good business model? What's the least amount of meat would you guys give away at a meat raffle, I guess? That, and if you want me to lay the numbers down, I will.
No. You bring up a very good point. For a long time, we've lost money. But we did it because we wanted to make sure we were bringing people into the bar.
But could it be a good idea that we base the meat prices off the percentage of tickets that we print?
Tickets printed, baby.
What was that?
Can you ask your question again, please?
Well, basically, I'm saying that if we're going to print an X amount of tickets, shouldn't we base the amount of meat prizes on that amount of tickets? I mean, you know, this was a situation where we ran out a half an hour before the raffle.
We ran out of tickets?
Yeah, we ran out of tickets. But that's not what I'm focusing.
That's the exception to the rule, then, because that.
Well, that's happened a couple times that I've been in weeks. But there again, that is also a concern. But again, my concern it was set up to make $22.40.
It's not set up to do that.
But typically,
meat fluctuates and the amount of tickets fluctuates seasonally in the winter. We're not going to print 1,000 tickets for a meat raffle.
No, and that's not where I'm going. But you printed 480. So then you buy $332 worth of meat, and then you've got wages and the printing of the tickets and stuff like that in there. And after, like I say, if you print a limited number of tickets, 480, you've got $332 worth of meat. That's the face value. I don't know if you guys get money off of that. You've then got $68 in wages, and I don't know, I can't remember if it was like $57 to $50.60 to print them, I believe. That was at 12 cents a ticket. So you've set yourself up for a $22.40 is all you can make on that. You understand what I'm saying?
This is why when you go to the wharf or Oxley Tavern or Mazzieri's or any of the places that Joe Slack is the gambling manager, they don't do bingo or meat raffle because it's not a money maker. It's meant to bring people into the bar.
Well, my suggestion or my thought is if we're printing this amount of tickets, why don't we print buy 50% of that worth of meat instead of, I don't know, maybe I'm foolish in what I'm saying there. I don't understand, but the way this was laid out, you could only, if all of the tickets sold out, you were going to make $22 and
if we had more people in the bar, we could probably sell more tickets. I'd gladly print 1,000 tickets for every meat raffle, but it's pointless to do that when you don't have a bar full of people to sell them to.
Well, on that particular day, I think we shot ourselves in the foot to the effect of probably 100 to 150 tickets. You know, if they would have been there, we could have sold them.
Yeah, but if I had a crystal ball and I could know how many you were going to sell, I'd print exactly that many. But I think with that, it should last 15 years.
What would you say is the percentage of times that we have leftover tickets versus we sell out tickets, roughly?
Well, I would 90+% of the time we probably have leftovers.
90% of the time we have leftover.
But that's 10% of the time that you're not getting the maximum out of your investment.
That brings out to be, what, four times a year?
This winter, I was here three times that they ran out of tickets during meat raffle. And I don't come here that often. But there was three times that I saw this winter. I think Katie back there just said the same thing here.
Yep. The other thing with the meat raffle tickets themselves is whatever we don't sell, well, even if we do sell, we have to store all the
material. Yes, and I understand that. That's part of the
handling. And it's always been that, you know, we've reduced our meat when we know that, you know, it's there's more meat going to be available when we do it in the summer when we know there's going to be a lot more people.
But I guess my question is if, number one, I don't know how we decide every week how many we're going to print. If we go back,
we look at years of history and try and come as close as possible to what we think is going to be like.
If we fast forward 1 year from last Monday, and you look at your records and you say we printed 480 tickets that day, is there also a footnote in there that we ran out a half hour before?
If I get a message that says that, yes, it goes in the notes.
So there is a full
footnote. What I started doing is our staff texts me, well, texts our group, and then I write it on our deposit envelope, and I've been saving every single deposit envelope since I started as gambling manager.
But I'll get back to my original question. Should we only be buying, of the tickets we're going to print, should we only buy a percentage of those tickets for meat? But I don't know. I don't know how this
will run. Can you predict that it's going to rain tomorrow?
Well, no. What I'm saying is, Mark, that's way offline. What I'm saying is if you've got 480 tickets and you print all the 90% of that is in prizes, I can predict that we're not going to do well.
I can predict that if I buy $100 worth of meat, a lot less people will be likely to show up for a meat raffle that only has six prizes rather than a meat raffle. So the point of meat raffle and bingos, they're not huge money makers. The pull tabs make the money. The whole point of bingo, which we turned down multiple times, said we're not doing it, and we got multiple requests. We finally said, okay, we'll do bingo because the bar was going to have all the volunteers to run that program. That was the original agreement. The situation we're in now.
I'm totally unaware of that, but I'm just asking that question.
The whole point of the meat raffle and the bingo is to get people into the bar to spend money so the bar is making money.
I was just asking a question if that would be a better business model to buy 50% of what you're going to sell.
But where I'm going back to, can you say the brain point? Yes, it does matter. It's like yesterday, but a sunny afternoon like this, you wouldn't have had as many people sitting in that bar. He does have records.
My point is not even that. My point is, if you print this many tickets, that's all you're going to sell.
Mm-hmm. Because you don't want to store 580
tickets. The other part of my point is should we sell a percentage of what we're going to print? And the answer here I'm gathering is no. we're going to buy as many as much as we care to, and we'll take that loss.
Are you guys happy with the, I mean, I know you're not happy with it. Are you willing to look at any changes with the meat raffle? Or are you just going to leave it the same? I mean, you know.
Absolutely willing to look at changes, but I'd like to see the bar, I mean, you're running the business here, the muni. I don't know what you guys want.
We've asked a lot, and we're usually shot down.
Well,
I hear it from our bartenders, what they're looking for what they think would do well in this bar. I don't know because I'm not here. I've got to listen to what they're telling me, and that's what we asked for.
And the most recent is a $5 pull tab box and electronic linked bingo. That we will make zero money on, pretty much. That's more work on our gambling manager to run that. I don't know how many hours, we're still looking into like actual as concrete a numbers as we can find on that, but we've been told from the gaming industry, the vendors.
Yeah, the gaming industry is being in favor of $5 boxes. You're so likely to lose your shirt early on with $5 boxes because you're talking about a much bigger payout per ticket.
Well, and as an example, a $2 box got closed out, and I just had to have Andy sign for a check for $244 when it still had a $500 winner, two $350 winners, a $300 winner, a $250, and then a couple $50s. And I had to ask this person, why did you close this out? And, well, customers were asking for it. We lost money. $5 box would go faster than that.
But she put in a new box. I think the new box started out doing pretty good. And sometimes you do have to pull them when they're like that. That one had been in there for quite a while. I mean, I actually looked at it on Friday when I was in, and it had been in for a long time. And I think sometimes you're better off biting the bullet and getting something in that's gonna move and move it out.
But in the past, you worked with me, and we both said, let's write it out over the weekend and see. So that did not happen. I was not communicated to, and it got closed out.
And you know, you probably lost almost $500 on that box.
And I pushed for that.
Lost more though.
I pushed for that box to be pulled 3-4 days earlier for that, and yeah, it would have lost $500 either way, but if a $2 box sat there, a new one, it would have made that more money back than that box would have sitting there.
Maybe, or maybe it would have lost more money.
Right now, they're kind of under it.
But we have the edge, right? That's gambling.
It is.
Sometimes the box would be unlucky, but letting it sit there is just foolish, because then people put their money away and they wait for a good box.
Pam?
I'd just like to comment on a couple of things. First of all, storage. The city bought a $3,500 storage unit for you guys, right? Second of all, we are doing our due diligence to get people in the bar, but it is hard when the community looks at our meat raffles as boring, dead. Bingo at the Pickled Loon last night, 51 people. So I think what we're going to do, me and my team, we're going to start calling and seeing what other places are doing. And we'll have a survey and we'll ask them all the same question. What do you pay for rent? Are the gambling people paid employees? Or do you find your volunteers? Do you have a $5 box? And do you have e-bingo? I asked the gambling manager today, first time I met him. Yes, they have e-bingo. It's not a moneymaker, but it's a draw for people. Because that draw is not only for the bar, it's for you
don't
too.
Just look at me.
No,
this.
The draw is not only for the bar, it's for you too. Because they're going to probably do pull tabs and do other things on the e-tabs. $5 box, absolutely. They have gambling at Deerhaven and at the Reamer Muni. They have a $5 box at each one. He said, yes, once in a while we will lose on them. But we do make. He says, I watch them. When it gets up to $500, $800, $1,000, I pull them. So I think maybe there's just more to learn out there on this, because our customers want it.
And I did research a lot of that. I just went the other way, Cross Lake area and whatnot. And I also talked with Brainerd Games. And he said flat out, People lose money on the $5 box, and Riverside Tavern just said no more $5 boxes.
But then how does this guy say they don't? And Mary Lisney says they are, yes, they make money off of them. It's a risk that you take.
And the risk gives you a bigger net to catch bigger fish, where a group of golfers will come in and they'll drop $1,000 on a $5 box. And maybe not win anything, then there's $1,000 for the end.
We've had $5 boxes in the past.
And Lori sent me information and it said, the $200 profit up to a $4,000.
$100 profit up to, yeah. But when I dug into them a little deeper, they would go under, and then a check was written to bring the bank back up, to let it, and then they'd sit. And when we have boxes being pulled because they're not played for 3 days, these $5 boxes have sat up here for up to 24 to 30 days. And now you're going to get a customer that's going to come in and be like, well, can't you change that out? And you guys are going to change them out that quick when you can't even let a $2 box sit for a couple more days?
That one wasn't going to move.
Yeah.
Honestly, and I don't dig into it. My hands aren't in it. My name's not in anything. But when the staff come to me and say, and I don't make the decisions on this, but when they come to me and say, day after day, this box is terrible, and the staff are the ones getting the brunt of that. What is going on with your fire department here that they can't get a box changed out? So I'm just communicating that. So if there's something that needs to change with the staff and changing out the boxes, let's do it. But then you have to hear what the customers are saying too. And that's hurting you guys.
And honestly, for me, I'm changing out boxes now for you guys. Like right now, this morning, I wanted to change out a box, but I didn't want to, but it was up like $500 for you guys. And the first $20 I sold, guy won $300. So now it's down $200 and maybe $100. And I know how much it costs you guys to put the games in place. So it's like, but the box is half full, but there's nothing there, but you guys would have made money. And I'm trying to help you guys, but I'm not trying to screw us at the same time. So, and not us, the bar. Because, I mean, people come in and they buy a pop or a beer and they see the boxes and they just leave their money and walk out the door. And I don't, there's no other way for me to get them to stick around. And the food's helped, don't get me wrong, but if they're coming to play pull tabs, they're coming to play pull tabs. The E-tabs are nice, and Big Bingo, I hear it from some of you guys, but I don't understand it. Nobody's asking me to play Bingo, but I don't understand the Bingo thing. But I get the rest of the bartender's argument. I just might not work enough for the Bingo stuff. I try to help you guys with old tab boxes, though, but then I get told, don't give me a million tickets, which I understand you guys don't want a million tickets, but I want you guys to make some money sometimes.
Absolutely, and maybe we need to look at putting some hard parameters on when you do and don't change boxes. Maybe we need that in the system, but
you know,
there has been some over the past few years here that never should have been pulled or...
You know, what Jesse was just saying is really very much what I heard from Dan Legill, the gambling manager in Cross Lake. You know, he said, I heard him say, you know, sometimes, you know, those boxes might be a couple $100 up. He said, they ain't being played that hard. Get them out of there and put in a fresh one. You're $200 up already. That's what I heard him say, you know. You know, if it's up 100, 200, 300, 400, but there's not a lot of action there. Now, I don't know nothing about that. I don't gamble. But that's what I heard him say, you know. And I think that really speaks truly to what Jesse just said, that one box is up 500 this morning, but then now it's not. And it takes a certain amount of finesse and knowledge to be able to do that. I don't have that. I think Jesse probably does, maybe Kim does, and Lori, you know, but I don't know how to, you know, but I did hear what Dan said that day, and sometimes, you know, it looks good, but hey, if we're ahead, we won.
Right, with this particular one, we didn't, I agree.
Right, but, you know.
It just seems like more and more in the last 2 months, I feel like I'm writing more checks. And it could be the time of year, absolutely.
Sure, that's a pretty bad luck you guys have had lately, I will say.
Right? Yeah. I know.
Well, that reflects too, it's gambling. You guys are gambling, and it's reflective of that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you guys win big, sometimes you lose.
Mary Lisney said too, part of the pull tabs was knowing when to pull the box. And when it gets up there, and she has criteria for the people that take care of them for her. And my whole thing was, I said, oh, well, God, if I'm in there Friday night, I'm in there Tuesday night, and I dropped $500. And I'm thinking, oh, God, and the bar closed. So I'm coming back in the morning, because I want to try and get my, I'm going to try and win some money back, and that box is up. But the smart person in the gambling thing would have pulled that box that night, because it would have had all that money in it. And when I came back, it wouldn't be there, and it would make me angry. And I know people, that's happened to me before when I've been working. But you know what, like Mary said too, it's business, and they get over it.
But we don't have to tell them who pulled it, right?
No, it's gone.
You just say something. Yeah, just like, we're all here to meet.
The previous bar manager worked really well with me on that, and she did learn a lot from asking other places. And she would close boxes out when it was up $1,200, $1,500. Yeah. We have not seen that in a while.
But have any of them been up there?
I think it's a tiny year.
Yeah, I haven't seen that much.
No, I know.
I was going to say, you'd be able to look on the sheet to see if they've been up that much. Mm-hmm.
It's not my fault. I sell $60 in tickets and give out $1,000 in winners. The luck of God. I like some days.
And that'll affect your profit and loss too.
Oh yeah.
I think one thing we need to do is with regards to the meat raffles, we can't sell what we don't have. I understand it's a guessing game on how many tickets do we print up and that type of thing, but I think there's room to maneuver on that. And if you look at our P&L statements, we're looking at starting getting the crowd in here first of May. So the first quarter was really tough on the bar, losing money, but we set ourselves up with that, anticipating that it's going to be an off month or an off 3 months, that type of thing. So we need to react to that with the pull tabs and the meat raffles. We got to be able to be on the ball with that, so we can react accordingly.
Did the campground turn their water on? Which campground? They told me they were coming up this. They're starting
Friday
season this weekend.
Yeah, Friday.
Well, is there anybody who wants to discuss any more? If not, I'm going to ask for an adjournment. Anybody got anything to say?
Thank you, everybody, for showing up.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Well, that'll ask for a motion to adjourn.
Make a motion to adjourn.